A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey everyone, it is the Red Men Originals podcast. Oh dear lord. we're going to talk about Liverpool Man City. We're going to talk about Liverpool Chelsea on today's podcast. We are going to just get a general sense of the temperature of the room so you understand where we're all at right now. Stee is a bundled up.
He's hotter ball than the sun.
Of rage right now.
Yeah, don't want to talk about it, but I've just had a big row on the phone with her. You know what it's like when you get work done and houses and stuff like that, contractors and all that kind of stuff, not great. So just it's all dealt with now, it's absolutely fine, but it's difficult when you immediately after having a bit of a kick-off to the thing.
Talk about Liverpool losing football games.
I've done that this morning, I've had the final words as well, so yeah, great, but I'm good, mate, I'm all right, thank you. Thank you for being concerned.
As the it got me thinking, just off topic, because we haven't done a random kick-off question for a while, of when was the last time you were forced to shout at someone over the phone or in the general public, someone who wasn't related to you, because I've done that loads of times. I'll leave because it was stuck in my head that someone phoned up a couple of weeks ago and told me that they were from Amazon and that we'd ordered a £600 iPad and that blah blah blah, and I just immediately was like, no, I'm sorry. Who the fuck do you think you are? Ringing up and trying to scam. And I went down a hole. Is this what you're choosing to do with your life? Is this how you're choosing to live your life and earn your money by ripping off other people who aren't on it enough to be able to see that this is a scam? For absolute shame. It's a disgusting way to make a living on the hunger for me. Which made me feel loads better about myself. I very rarely do that because I very rarely answer cold calls. And more often if I do, if no one answers in that like half second gap, I immediately hang up because I know what it is, which is slightly sly on the Scouse Amazon delivery driver who I did hang up on Saturday. I answered and it went, "Hiya, mate," and I was already in the process. God, oh no. sorry. I'm not normally a big shouter, but
I weren't shouting, mate. It was long story, but I was on the phone for a while, wasn't I? I was outside for like a good 40 minutes or so, trying to sort stuff out.
Chloe, you strike me as a shelter.
No, I hate confrontation. Absolutely despise it.
Really?
Yeah. I'm more of a peacemaker than I am to fume at someone. But like,
can you come on my call with this builder later? <like then? laughs>
But like, if you do me head in, then sure. The last time I probably shouted at someone was, we were at a red light and we'd stopped because there was four other cars in front of us at a red light, and someone just went straight into the back of us, but felt like it was our fault even though we were on a red light and there was three other cars stopped before us. And she was speaking to me mum like crap, and I just turned around and was like, I got out the car and I was fuming. I was like, we've got kids in the back, and I went in on her. And yeah, I mean, we're not here to rip, like, it wasn't like, she didn't do a lot of damage to the car. We weren't going to go and ask her for money, but it was the fact that she was like, well, you know, you stopped fast. And we were like, what are you going on about? That's what a traffic light, when a traffic light turns red, that's
the responsibility of cars in front of red lights.
I'm also one of the apps, I broke my microphone.
Oh, Stee.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah, I'm back in the room.
Yeah, but that was a while ago. I don't shout
I'm
so
not
lot.
Shocked that your shouting moments come in relation to driving.
I love being a passenger when Chloe's driving. She's brilliant.
Yeah. She's an aggressive driver.
It's great. It's so fun.
Chris, I know for a fact that you are a person who has, I can't attest whether this is true so much anymore, but you are, generally speaking, a man who likes to give both barrels to people when it's due in a telephone or customer service style situation.
Not customer service. certainly telephone. But then I think I've mellowed over the years anyway, and I tend to just fume in my own little corner nowadays rather than do it in people's faces and stuff.
Passive-aggressive that on someone else, like a normal person.
The last one was probably a cold caller actually last week, because I remember saying, you know, he was trying to upsell me something, and I was like, look, and you know the way they go, why have you turned that down? I'm like, my answer was, because you cold called me. And then he tried to convince me that he didn't cold call me, and I was like, well, did you phone me? And he went, yeah. Was I expecting your phone call? No. Therefore, it's a cold call, mate.
Winner.
We'll have to talk about the footy, aren't we? We've tried long enough there to...
I mean, I have actually screamed at Liverpool's players. That's probably the most recent relevant of all these things. Quite a lot recently.
I lost it. I'll transition for you, pause it for you. The part on the game when we were on the counter-attack and Man City's players sprinted back, and we had Mo Salah and like Diogo Jota doing a slight jog. I lost it on the... I think I was fuming then. I was like, That's unacceptable, and I must be like, I don't really get angry at the footy. I sometimes get annoyed, but it's usually I was like, I can't believe you're not even running. And I must admit, there was a time when I think on the watch along, I think I maintained, I don't think I lost it. People might go back and watch it and tell me differently, but that made me really angry. I was like, you know, people are investing their time and money and whatever, you know, people like Chloe. I know it's a long trip, but there's finances involved. And you can't even be asked to run at the same speed as them or ability as them. I think that moment there really wound a lot of people up, and it definitely wound me up.
It was more of a, like, I'm really angry at the beginning of the game if I don't see the effort and everything. But the more it goes on, the more I just want to sit in my seat and just like when the fourth goal went in, it was just like, yeah.
I think that's where we've kind of got is... Under Jürgen, we've risen, and like physically, not just metaphorically, because like people stand at the footy now, and obviously always have done it away, but on the cop you stand for all every game, doesn't matter who you're playing, whereas it used to be 3 times a season you'd maybe get away with standing for the vast majority of the game. Now it's accepted, you go in and you do it, and more it's just people just going and sitting down because there's nothing to be excited about. And that's where I'm at. Me and Chris had a brief chat about this before. I wasn't angry at the weekend, because I really enjoyed the first half. I just thought it was a great game of football, and then the second half, I thought we're in good shape here, and it got to that point of like with an hour gone, and you know I was in the fortunate situation when I was just watching at home, which obviously doesn't happen very often, but that's the closest I've come to just getting up and getting on with my day and going and being. We always used to joke about the fellas who get dragged to garden centres on a Saturday and look at can't imagine being one of them. That was the first time in the last 7 years that I've wanted to be a fella who gets dragged to garden centre on a Saturday instead of watching the footy. And I was just thinking, like, I could be doing better things. I could do things that put a bit of joy into my life instead of doing this. There's half an hour here where I could, and I didn't. I stuck it out and I watched the whole thing. But I wasn't angry and I wasn't like sad. I just kind of shrugged my shoulders and got on with my weekend. And that's an indictment of where we're at. Is it doesn't even ask me anymore. I'm accepting that this is how kind of crap we are. And it's mad to say that, because you can go and get beat at the Etihad. I mean, we haven't won there since 2015 in the league. So it's not like any one of us should have been expecting us to win. But to the way in which it happened again. Just like,
yeah, but we were. I was angry. I was angry all night. I think Sunday I managed to get rid of it. But it was, for me, it was exactly what Steve was talking about before. It's just a lack of effort. Like, I can accept they're better than us. They're better than us this season. They've been better than us all this season. They've been better at us for most of the last 5 years, as proved by league tables and stuff. But to not be able to put the effort in, I think that's unacceptable, to be honest with you. And like, the money side of things doesn't really come in for me too much, because I don't think it really matters. And I hate it when people say, like, well, he's on 100 grand a week. That shouldn't matter. You should have your own get up and go. Shouldn't matter whether you paid a fiver or you paid 100,000. That's you. Klopp wants players who are going to play for the club, who are going to play for the shirt. And the money side of things shouldn't make any odds to them. And I don't think it does. But, like, they gave up. And that's not good enough for me. And if at any Liverpool player wearing a Liverpool shirt.
Did the manager not give up as well, though? Because Andy made this.
I hate going
over old shows, so apologies if anyone who watched the final way. But like, the manager give up. You don't bring... That's, them subs are you giving up, and that's an indictment. And at the time, I didn't realise this, and I've had a think since, Chris. I was quite applauding the tactical setup from Liverpool because it's trying to stop Manchester City. But that's an indictment on where Liverpool are as well. Because in the past, Liverpool have just been able to go, we're going toe-to-toe with you, and the best man wins. This time, I think Jürgen's realised we're not good enough to do it. But also, have we got it in us to really... Are we up for the battle to go to Man City and just go head-to-head with them? Not only physically, but mentally as well. And I think the subs are an indictment of where Liverpool are. Because I can tell you now, and I don't disagree in particular with Jürgen doing it, because Chelsea, there's a big game to play tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. So I can understand his logic. But I think if he'd have thought those lads have got it in them to fight, he wouldn't have done that. I think he's accepted as well. We haven't got this in us.
I don't think he makes four at the same time.
Yeah.
But I agree. I think at that point they've gone, this is lost. It's Chelsea, and he's right. Chelsea's well more important. Immediately becomes well more important than that game, because you now can't afford to lose to Chelsea, given that. And of course, we know their circumstances have changed a bit, and we'll talk about that in part two. But it was, and that's a bit. It's an odd feeling to be at the Etihad and basically throwing in the towel and saying, "Now we're done with this game. There's no, we don't feel we can get back into it," which is probably a little bit unfair on Darwin Nunez and Roberto Firmino and
Ox.
Yeah,
Tsimikas and Ox.
Yeah,
maybe. I think it's just looking after leg. I completely understand the situation, but I think that's not so much Jürgen, because I think it's him knowing that these lads aren't up for it, because he would never do that.
That's where I was sort of at when you'd said then, is that Jürgen not throwing the towel in? I'm thinking, no, it's not Jürgen throwing the towel in.
I think it's an acceptance.
He can accept that 11 lads on the field have thrown the towel in.
That's what, yeah,
and
sorry,
he's taken
yeah,
four
yeah.
of them off. That's not him throwing the towel in.
I thought it was the other way. I thought it was all those lads that got took off are going to start against Chelsea, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So it was, yeah, it's more, yeah, it's protect. Yeah,
it's a bit of both, because, usually he wouldn't care what's coming on Tuesday. He would just be like, we'll try and get on this game. Whether it's an acceptance of they haven't got the mentality or the quality or the legs to do it. Either way, I think that's an indictment where you know, it was 3-1, wasn't it? Like, I've never seen Liverpool just gibber off after two goals needed to go. I don't think that I've very rarely ever seen that. You know, it happened a little bit in the Bernabeu the other day, but they were chasing three against Real Madrid in 15 minutes. At that point, yeah.
I suppose, like, surely, if you're chasing two goals, you would bring Darwin Nunes and Roberto Firmino on.
Yeah, but you don't take Mo Salah off.
Yeah.
And I don't know. But again,
doesn't take Mo Salah off normally in those situations.
And also, with all due respect to Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, that is just, you're not trying to win the game by bringing Ox on for Salah. What you're saying is we're saving Mo Salah's legs. If it was, you know, if it was Nunes, Firmino, Salah, then you can kind of, because you get it, Jota's probably hasn't played enough, etc, etc. But yeah, that's a moot point in the grand scheme of things. The fact was, the game was lost between half time and what?
46.
Well,
honestly, Susan
The what I, for the majority of the season, have turned around and said the players don't have the legs in them. You know, I've blamed it on a lot of things, a lot of problems all coming together. But now I just don't even think that it's due to legs. I can't look at you as not putting in the effort and start blaming it and on, like, yet you've been running to the ground for the past 5 years. I get that. But if you can't fall off a cliff like Liverpool. I've never seen a football team fall off a cliff as much as Liverpool have. I can understand maybe for
Chelsea.
We've had a bigger fall off than them. I can understand if you said, oh, Fabinho and Trent are struggling. Okay, well, they've been probably the most overused two players in that entire thing, because he was our main DM and we didn't have cover for him. And Trent, we've had absolutely no cover for him aside from potentially playing Milner and Joe Gomez there at the time. So I could understand two players, an entire team falling off a cliff, and I can't keep blaming it on other things. At some point, you've got to look at yourselves and think, how are we absolutely, like, we're robbing everyone who's watching this game, because we go and we don't keep up the pace, the intensity, our mentality. To concede once again within the first minute of a whistle being kicked is horrific. To then absolutely collapse and crumble like we did. The first half, you felt, okay, we're not the better team. They've had a lot of the ball, but us on the counter, they're scared. You can see it. We've nearly got that. We got the goal from it. We arguably could have had a red card. But once again, I'm blaming the players.
Well, we've said it before, it's the psychologically weak. And that's what's so unfamiliar about it, because there's two moments, and I talked about sliding doors in football matches. Rodri should probably be sent off.
100%. Not even probably, definitely.
And Salah fluffing his lines on that counter attack. And it's because, like, because everything about that was that I'm watching it's that
2-0, 10 men in it or whatever.
And like Harvey Elliott's ball through to Salah is perfection, and we're on the verge of everything being vindicated. Harvey Elliott starting against Manchester City in midfield, and his vision and creativity sends Salah away, and Salah either slides in and slams it home or plays Jota, and all of a sudden we're in dreamland and we're very much in control of the game. We concede within a couple of minutes,
The lad who blocks it is setting a goal up within a minute.
It's weird because even I still win in half time. It's okay, fine. Just do the same again. Just go again because hasn't changed the results. You know, there's still a lot of football to be played. But you're right, the second goal absolutely finishes off. And even that's one of those weird moments, isn't it? Because is it Kevin De Bruyne in the middle who's absolutely miles offside? Now, he's like 2 metres into their half, and our defence is absolutely all over the place and all that. But it's one of those weird moments that go because of the way the rules are laid out, it goes in their favour, of course. But again, once we've faced adversity, there's no one in that team. And I know everyone's banged people banging the Gini Wijnaldum drum, and I've heard the Mane one, but the Mane one's the big one for me, is that you have but there's not enough players on that pitch who are like, it's all right, just give me it. And we'll go and take this game to them. Don't worry, it's not lost because there's minutes on the clock. We're gonna go make things happen. There's a weird split in our squad now, where you've got a bunch of really quite exciting, vibrant younger players, new players who aren't wrecked and aren't jaded by all the chase. But you've got a bunch of our best players are, and they are. What we've done in the past is we've brought young blood in, and it's driven the older lads up a level because they've had to fight for it and they've really doubled down. And that again maybe goes back to fatigue and injuries and all that kind of stuff, is that they haven't done that this season. The established first team players haven't been like boosted by the influx of new talent. And that's an oversimplification, but that was this game in a nutshell for me. Is like, saw Cody Gakpo look once again having a good game, thought Elliot looked good. And probably Jota's best game of since his injury, but then Van Dijk has a stinker.
Robertson has a stinker.
Trent has a stinker. You know,
Canate looked wobbly.
Firmino Henderson were miles off it, and it's a weird one because I get the transfer thing. Because by the way, this is Liverpool. You get out what you put in. This is Liverpool. They're getting out of not investing in the midfield. We can say that, but there's also a flip side of the lads who are on the pitch. I completely agree that Liverpool needed to sign players and he didn't. But that doesn't, like, not having a midfield doesn't account for some of the other things. You know what I mean? Like Chris said before, a pride in your own personal performance. So it shouldn't matter to Andy Robbo who's playing in front. Like, it's what you've got a level, or you know what I mean? Does that make sense? So it helps having players. Don't get me wrong, if the midfield's struggling, it doesn't help.
But, I wonder if Tsimikas hadn't got injured in the internationals, whether he'd have just started this game because Robbo's done it. You know what I mean? As an example of that, though, that's
maybe, yeah.
And that goes back to that thing of there's too many lads been asked to go too many times, and they're all, and Virgil van Dijk, Andy Robertson, Jordan Henderson, the Fabinho are like, and Trent actually are all the ones totally struggling for it, and there's no one pulling up trees for their position. And there was Stefan Bocetic was doing it, and now he's out for the season.
On the Trent one, Paulo, Trent is doing one. I don't think it's physical. Because I think Trent is more a quality than mental thing. Like, Trent was the one legging the goalie down and then turning around and I'm moaning at his mate, like, wait, what was that? Mm-hmm. And by the way, that was after the subs had come on.
Yeah.
So that's an indictment as well. Even the subs maybe didn't have belief in it. But it's a bit like the Real Madrid game in that we were able to hang with them. We were better against Madrid, don't get me wrong. Like, we hung with Man City for a half, but we was hanging with them. They were the better team. And then in the second half, they pulled away. It was a bit like two race cars in the Formula One. They start level and you might get there, but over the course of the laps, he gets further and further and you've got no chance of catching him because they just got a better car. But, and that's what ultimately it was. And in the end, they had better players than us. They were fit than us. They looked like they wanted it more.
They did want it more.
All that comes into play.
They're a team in the European Cup still.
Trying to chase the weeks.
Playing for a double. And we're a team.
Treble, mate. They're on for the treble.
Well, yeah. Playing for what? yeah, you know, and again, top four should be enough. They're meant to be top quality players. They shouldn't need extra motivation, but that's what it looked like. We just look like one of those bang average. We look what we are, and that's what we've been all season.
An eighth team in the league who've gone City and had the belly tickled. And you can get, I've seen better Liverpool teams get battered by Man City, and that can happen. But I don't think any of us have ever sat here and gone, we didn't really give it our best. We just got outdone by, you know, often Kevin De Bruyne is just magic. Or Sergio Aguero's popped up and done what he does. Or, you know, Silva or Mahrez or Foden or whatever. And you think, you know what? They're boss. Sound. I don't think we've ever sat here and gone, the lads weren't arsed or they weren't up for the fight. They might not have been good enough, or technically City were better than them. It's pretty grim that you can sit here now. Because you're right. You can lose at the Etihad. We might lose at the Etihad for the next five seasons. That could just happen because we don't win there at the minute.
So we literally haven't won in the league there since Klopp's first season.
It's just really tough to take when it looks like they can't be arsed.
Yeah.
And I hope that isn't the case, but
it's not the first time I've sat here questioning.
It's quite a lot,
this season either as well. That's a worrying trend, isn't it? You know, I mean, I'm just going back to something Chloe was sort of pulling the thread off before. Like, I have to believe for my own sanity that we're in midfield away.
Yeah.
I have to. And I do as well, by the way. Because I look at those lads and I look at the five lads, including the goalkeeper at the back, and I look at the five forwards that we've got, and they are good enough on paper to be able to achieve what we want to achieve season in, season out. So I have to look at it that the midfield is the problem and everything else slips into place. And I get that people are like, don't want to just think that anymore. But like, I can't live in this world where Liverpool need 10 signings to challenge again. I just can't. Mentally, I can't live there. Like,
also, Chris, if he trusted his midfield, if he had a midfield that he could trust, then we'd have just been 4-3-3. Jürgen's told you with his team selection that he doesn't, that it's the midfield. Because he's had to try and protect Henderson and Fabinho, and he was absolutely right to. If we'd have went and played 4-3-3, they'd have ran through the lines all day. Real Madrid showed it in the second half. They just picked up the pocket of space, and they exploited the sides who, you know, our best midfield, Henderson and Fabinho, Wijnaldum or whatever, have sometimes been given the run around by Man City. Fabinho, you could tell in the first 5 minutes, he's off it because he's late. They're two late challenges, and that isn't him doing the Rodri cynical foul. He's just late to two tackles, and that's within 5 minutes. And that kind of shows you there's a drop-off. There has been a physical drop-off. So Jürgen, by playing that 4-2-3-1, he's told you everything you need to know. My midfield isn't good enough. I can't do what I want to do. He wants to play 4-3-3. We all know it. That's his system, and it's what he wants to do. He knows he hasn't got the players now, and I get it. There's injuries, but if you think about it, Thiago's in the midfield we bought, really. The rest of we've had a couple of kids come through, which is a bonus if you get them. No one expects a Stefan Bacetic. Jürgen can't sit down the night and go, you know, I knew Stefan Bacetic was going to be first choice. And the rest, you're getting out what you put in. We put in not into midfield, so we're getting on out of it now. You can't, this isn't a surprise. It's just that.
Well, moreover, not even that. And you're right. I mean, this is part of the same argument, isn't it? But the point, the fact that Oxlade-Chamberlain's coming onto the pitch.
Yeah, we ended the game with Milner as well. Milner, Ox and Hendo on the pitch in 2023.
And exactly, and Cater's injured again. You know, and again,
Thiago's injured again. It's the same. We're playing the hits.
Yeah.
Liverpool are playing the hits. You know, the lad who's always injured is always injured. Well, Shahala, both of them. And I love Thiago, but the injury record's a concern.
Yeah.
And we're rocking out James Milner and Jordan Henderson, Fabinho again. I can't blame that. I can't blame Fabinho and Henderson for being a yard off it. They've been ran into the... I think this is a fatigue and a legs thing. The worry is, I think, and I'm starting to see it more like Chris, is I think, Chris, and apologies if I'm wrong, you think Fabinho might be done.
Yeah.
I thought it was just a fatigue thing, but I think he might be done.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, Liverpool might need like three or four midfielders going forward. And that's where hopefully you can see the positives at the other end of it. Like, if we just fix that, it might all work again.
My overall fear is with this is... we've never really, in our lifetimes of supporting Liverpool, we've never been to the top. So it was a boss experience, and it was like, okay, I can now relate to loads of the stories I was told. But I forever have this niggling doubt in the back of my mind whenever we've hit a wall that'll be it. That's it, and that's it done. Now, historically, under Klopp, we've bounced back even better the season after. So it exists very much in possibility with a couple of the rights, a few at least, or more signings in the summer. We can reboot and refresh and have a summer off, and all the lads can put that to bed. It's a year on from the quadruple. You get a summer off. They're going to do pre-season in it. You know, they're going to dig their heels in and do pre-season exactly how they want. Because let's be honest, it becomes Klopp's last hurrah, if not. ultimately, because if he gets everything his own way this summer and gets the players that he wants this summer, and we have another season like this, then he will be done. You know, and that's just because that's the way football is. But my biggest fear on all this is that, having been to the top, I'm concerned there's just a degree of magic that we had along the way, and I don't know whether we can rekindle that, because right now, I want to live in that world that you're saying, Chris, where three of the right players, we buy five, but three of the really the right ones that we want will be enough. But at the moment, it's so concerning across the board, isn't it? You know, again, we're talking about Robertson, all of a sudden looks like he's coming toward the end of his top level useful life cycle. Van Dijk starting to creak for the first time since we've had him. We're needing to reboot the defensive partnership. Konate looks like he's definitely potentially at the level, but that's one. Matip's probably going to be on his way. Gomez, who knows? We did a big debate on Gomez last week. Trent needs something. I don't know what that is. Does he need to not be right back anymore? Does he need a really competitive right back alongside him? Do we need a defensive right back to do horses for courses with him? I don't know. Thiago, Henderson, Fabinho, all of those issues. Mohamed Salah is our biggest, most prized asset, but there's going to come a slide, a moment where you can decide whether to cash in on him or not, etc., etc. And I'm terrified of that world where this might not be a snapback thing. There might be loads more to be done, because we've lived years of that, of you think you're two players away and you get the two players, but in doing that, it's like painting the Golden Gate Bridge. By the time you've painted it, the other end needs doing again, and that's why I'm just switching off to it, because herein lies the path to madness. I'm well aware, but I'm terrified of us just having
no, I can appreciate that viewpoint. I really can, and I think the evolution of Liverpool started, and we're halfway through it. Like, the forward line is being revamped, like, and we've not actually seen what the forward line looks like when they're all fit, because we've not seen Luis Diaz at all this season with Gakpo in the side. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's something where I can look at that and go, those five players, Gakpo, Jota, Salah, Nunes, Diaz, they're good enough. They're absolutely of the level. Now, will they have that sort of magic that the front three had? There's the question that you're asking, and I hope that they do. The back four, I'm probably less concerned about Robbo, because I think that is just Klopp got himself into a situation where he has to play his best team every single week, and he's overused Robertson. That's his fault.
Yeah.
I think, and I also think that in Tsimikas we do have a left back that's good enough. Trent Alexander-Arnold's a big one. I can completely see that. But there is a way for us to do it. My biggest concern over it all is, what's Klopp going to do next? Is he going to go the Thiago style midfield? Is he going to reverse back to the Wijnaldum style midfield?
Look, you're being linked with,
and that's the big question mark, isn't it? And we are being linked with your Mason Mounts and stuff,
Conor
like
Gallagher.
That. Conor Gallagher. These aren't lads who are probably like Genie Wijnaldum in a way, but they are lads who are very attacking, but they do like to run and stuff. And the other big thing I've got, my big question mark is not around the players, it is around what tactics we're going to play, because we've seen tactics evolve throughout the years. You know, Jose Mourinho comes into the league when it's all 4-4-2 and he plays 4-2-3-1, and all of a sudden he gets a leg up on everybody else. And then we've been able to get the 4-3-3 working, and the 4-2-3-1 becomes kind of redundant unless you're a counter-attacking side, or you're a good side but you're not a great side, so you need to play that extra body in the middle. And then now all of a sudden you're seeing the Arsenals and the Manchester Cities take that 4-3-3, evolve it slightly so they end up with four midfielders and overload in the middle of the park, and you just can't get anywhere near it. It's what's next, because Klopp can't just copy what Arsenal and Manchester City are doing.
You're too late. Yeah.
You need to be the next one, the next evolution. So take that formation back, which I think what Klopp, what Guardiola and Arteta are doing, I think Hungary were doing in the 50s and the 60s. What's the fucking formation that killed it in the 50s and 60s?
Yeah.
Like, and then, because it all is, it's just all recycling of stuff, isn't it? Yeah. So you never know. But I think Klopp might have to move on from the 4-3-3, and Klopp, and that's how Liverpool get good
the
again.
The biggest concern is if we do go back, because I know again everyone's going, we need another Wijnaldum, we need a Wijnaldum, blah blah blah. If we go back, we're kind of doing this, where we're suffering, I think, at the moment, is we've had to go back to basics a bit. And the problem is that there's tons of evidence of watching, and we're not even doing a very good impression of back to basics Liverpool, because we don't have the right players for any type of midfield at the moment. We don't have a progressive midfield, and we don't have an ultra robust physical work hard sort of midfield. I hope that's the case. I hope there's a next natural evolution of it, because my concern is that we do try to go back to let's have a combative midfield, and in doing so you end up you're playing the hits, you're a crap covers band of your best self. Or you're doing karaoke of your hits.
The key is the key is how do you get Trent Alexander-Arnold assisting?
That's
if you think he's of a level, that's what your main problem is.
Yeah.
Because this season we've not done that, and we have managed to do that while Thiago's in the side, but it was much easier when Wijnaldum was in the side. You know, and that's the thing. If you're going to get Trent Alexander-Arnold playing footy, how are we best set up to do that?
Also, Chloe, you were, I don't know if you agree with me on this one, but like, it's dead hard to maintain levels. Other than City, who's been constantly at the top the last 6 years, you know, since Leicester won the league, we had a bit of Leicester and Tottenham up there, and then they kind of fell away, and then it was Liverpool and City for a bit, and then it looks like we fell away, and then we come back, and then it's only been City. It was Chelsea, and look, they fell away. You know, it's
team with the most money always stays.
It's only really been Man City, and that's why I don't know about you, Klopp. I've got confidence that it can be fixed, because listen, Arsenal might win the league this year, they might. It doesn't mean they could fall away next season. Things in this cycle. It's only really been City who have been the constant. So I don't know. I'm trying to cheer you because I see you've got a bit of a face on, Club. I think it could be easily fixed, because I think everyone else has ebbed and flowed. City are the constant, and it's not a surprise the constant, because the team they've got and the manager they've got and the investment they've had. But I think I'm more like with Chris is, I think, than hopefully what Paul was saying there. Like, I think with the right 3 to 4 signings, which is what Arsenal kind of did in the summer. I think you can just get back up there like that.
I don't know.
Simon's club might disagree. I've seen a woman sigh at me like that before.
Yeah,
I'm about to get.
Normally she's lying on her back.
Oh no, ooh. We've gone too far.
I'm usually getting double barrels.
Move on. I've seen us do it once before, which was obviously last season when I was a little bit worried about us in the COVID season in terms of, but there was more things you could blame it on in terms of, like, it was just a horrific time for everyone. We came back and we were pretty boss after that. We somehow managed to, that season wasn't as worse as this season for me in terms of football. I mean, we had to win 10 on the bounce, I think it was, towards the end to get into the top four. I do not see this team winning 2 on the bounce, never mind 10. Mm. So I do not see us getting top four. For me, that's a massive thing, because even with 4 players, if I'm asking the same group of lads to go week in, week out again, twice a week, and it's Europa League, look, Europa League, you still want to win it if you're in it. But for them to go twice a week again, for me, I'd rather focus on getting into the top four again or potentially winning the league. But I have this fear that, for whatever reason, I still go into the games hoping, because in the back of my mind, there's myself going, it's Fabinho, one of the best DMs I've ever seen play. We lost the Champions League, we got him in and we were unbelievable. You know, that I'm still looking at the team and it's a shell of what we used to be, but in your mind you go back to everything they've won, and I've just realised that time cycles come to an end and you've just got to let it go. And sadly, I do think the cycle might have came to an end. Does that mean we can't start a new cycle? No, absolutely. We can obviously do that, and I hope we do.
The Mayor said that as well, didn't he? Because he said the reason he signed the contract was that.
Yeah.
He said, I wanted to be the man to do the rebuild, which is positive because...
Well, he knew it was coming.
And also, if he never... he could just jib it off. You know what I mean? Like, he's well aware that he knew that this was happening. So that's, I suppose, like, he's... And his press conference before City gave me a bit of hope. You know, we've had all I've done in the last 2 weeks is look at signings and stuff, because there's nothing else for me to do. I didn't know what players I was going to have. So I suppose, like, if you're looking for little hints of encouragement, he knows what they need. He's up for it. Because listen, mate, there was a time a couple of years ago during COVID, I thought he might just jib this. I think he had a personal loss with his mum and stuff, and I was thinking he might just swerve this off. It looks like he's up for the fight.
Yeah, that was because there was a WhatsApp doing the rounds. If there's a WhatsApp did the rounds today, we might all be inclined to believe.
Every time Sam Walker texts me with a forwarded message.
Yeah, the sex noises or it's a scouse rumour.
The thing I think is, we mentioned 3 to 4 signings. I don't know whether I look at Virgil van Dijk and I think to myself, 3 years' time, he's not my number one centre back.
Yeah, don't worry
about that. God, everyone was giving me shit 2 weeks ago when I said that.
We'll cross that bridge.
Everyone was giving me shit 2 weeks ago when I said you don't build a team around Virgil van Dijk
no more. I agree, you don't.
He's in your side for the next 2 to 3 years if he wants to be, exactly. But you don't build a team around him.
This is what we've got. And look, Man United did this plenty of times where there's juice left in the old guard. Like Real Madrid are doing it too. They've obviously started. They've done the last two seasons has been their transitioning away, and this summer will be probably the final.
Imagine winning the European Cup in your transition.
I know, but that's the great. That's what I've said for weeks. The greatest annoyance about Real Madrid is that when they're transitioning, they win league titles and European Cups, and we have to fucking scrap out in the middle of the table for Europa League places. But you can keep Van Dijk. You could get four more seasons out of Virgil van Dijk as a top centre half, because we made this mistake with Hippier where we actually moved him on a season too soon because it was like a worry that he was fading too fast. We let Gerrard go a season too soon. Carragher was probably about right, but you might have got another.
Carragher got that renaissance as well, didn't
he?
Exactly. Like his agents.
Yeah, exactly. And it does, you know, you look at great, and it's great sporting sides as well. You even look at like basketball and you look at the Bulls and that kind of stuff. They're great teams. And it's definitely possible, but the lads who are coming through have got to be, you've got to have the balance right. Because where we fucked it in the past was the old guard who are fading don't end up a supportive thing. They end up a bit of a millstone and a bit of a hindrance, and they don't want to do the work. They don't want to put the yards in anymore. And I don't think we're going to know that until the summer with someone like Virgil van Dijk, because he's such a languid character. I've seen him fight a bit more. I don't think, does he want to fight to make the team
I saw
again.
Him I take 250-50s against City that I don't think I've ever seen him take, and that was the best 2 minutes of the entire game.
Is that the one where we nearly give it away and we just started twatting the ball at each other's feet? It was brilliant. That was the best we played in
and it was Virgil twice, and you're like, go on!
The away end went mental because of it, and I think we actually got the ball back and we went forward and we screamed them forward. I think what makes me feel even worse about it is Manchester City in that period, yet they're still at the top, but Liverpool have won one Premier League trophy in that time. And for me, it felt like if we never, we might be brilliant, but we might never be that Liverpool side that I think is the best side to, like, I've ever seen.
Well, I don't think City will be that City side as well, by the way. That's what gives me encouragement. I don't think they're going to be that good.
The thing Forever City have got going for them, which is why they drop off, even though they've not been as good this season, it's been fine.
They drop off second place.
Their ability, and Real Madrid are the same. They can take losses on footballers that we can't. And again, this comes all the way back to the ownership. And again, people who are upset with Liverpool's owners, and I get that, dude. That's the biggest limitation. Because Liverpool pay decent wages, they pay competitive wages. We've got a huge wage budget, a comparative wage budget for the top four of the Premier League and for world football. When transfer fees need to be paid, they'll pay them. They're brilliant at getting value and selling players on, but that's our Oxlade-Chamberlain and Naby Keita don't still play for Manchester City in that environment. They just don't.
Yeah, we have to get ours almost perfect.
Yeah, that's true.
And because. He didn't get Keita perfect. He did not. Again, Chamberlain, I think, was harsh because of the injuries.
Yeah.
Thiago, perfect player, but the injury, like, all of a sudden, you got three wrong, and you're like, ah, fuck. Yeah. Where if City got three wrong, they'd be gone, and they'd have three more lads who have just wheeled in. You know, they got the striker wrong, so they just go and buy Erling Haaland.
Karius is a good example of, like, what was getting it right. He's the wrong keeper, and unfortunately, he's the wrong keeper. You know, if you'd gone bigger the summer before, could you have got a better goalie in, and then he doesn't make the mistake, and you got another European Cup in the bag. Maybe, who knows? But it's addressing the issue and going out and go, right, okay, we've tried to do this on the cheap. We can't afford to do this on the cheap. Let's go and spend the money to get it right.
Van Dijk was the same way. He tried to fix it in the end, and
I think we have been. And you mentioned the attack. I think we have been proactive in that regard. And again, I know what Diaz is not
too proactive.
Yeah. But Diaz is not going to come in and fix this season. But he is the player that he is. That he's got that indomitable spirit that Sadio Mane's got.
He'll drag it over the line.
Crystal Palace, when Darwin Nunes gets sent off, he's the one guy go, fuck this, I'm not losing this game. And he's the one trying to get the back into it. In the game that he gets injured in, you know, Arsenal, he's dragging us into that game. We need more of those characters. And we can certainly do that again.
The other thing I think Jürgen needs, sorry to interrupt there, Paul. The other thing I think Jürgen needs is, I think this idea of like that small squad thing with the substitute, I want to see him change that. Because I don't think that a small squad can do 63 games, and I think that's proof. The proof's in the pudding, yeah. Almost, isn't it?
Not without literally setting fire to the whole thing and starting again and getting a brand new squad that haven't been overworked
at all. You need, and that's where the 3 to 4 signings are probably first teamers, but you need maybe 3 to 4 that are going to refresh that squad as well, because with the 5 subs and everything else, you need to be able to refresh quickly and often.
I'm hoping that I think the Van Dijk thing's a physical thing. I don't think he's a lesser player, and I don't think it's a mentality thing. I think it's, and he said himself, he played too much after the injury, and he looks like a lad who's just shattered. Confidence might be taking a hit as well. I'm less worried about Van Dijk, but some of them, Fabinho's the one. I'm there with Henderson, but again, Henderson's 30 odd. Like, he should be doing the James Milner role. He's playing every game.
That's the big summer, is that Henderson, for example, as well, is another one where, I mean, we talked about this when we were talking about Milner on Pint the other week, is what does he want from his career now? Does he want to see a lot of diminishing returns? Because again, this is where we had it. Liverpool have been here before, and under FSG, when they took over, we had too many players who were on too high a wage for where Liverpool were at. And that's where it's a really fine margin of error here for how we get things right. Can we top up and go again? Probably most likely. Or do we need to burn it all down and start from scratch? And that's going to be a really, really painful process. Because if you remember, you know, people think like hating FSG is a new thing. It's not. People thought they were asset strippers and they had no understanding what they were doing. But in reality, they had to get rid of Gerrard, they had to get rid of Kite, and they had to get rid of Carragher, and they had to get rid of, did Mascherano go before Pepe them Reina. Or after them? Pepe Reina is a good example. The lads who we were like, no, these are good players, keep them around. Yeah, but they're earning 4 times as much money as the younger, hungrier members of the squad. They're not providing value in terms of what they're doing, and we're on that real cusp of that.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
At the moment, and Jordan Henderson is a good example of that. What does Jordan want to do? Does he want to see a reduced role? Does he want to play multiple roles in the side and continue to be more figurehead captain and take him over James Milner role? Because if not, then that needs to be addressed, because what you don't want is that situation where Gerrard's too embarrassed to be on the bench because he's a star and he doesn't like his star fading. Van Dijk might find himself in that situation, you know, and a couple others as well. That's a real tricky balance on that.
The issue I've got, right, is that there are some players now who we're going to keep this summer because we've got too much to do elsewhere.
Yes, but that's my problem.
With all due respect, like, the people could tell Jordan Henderson this summer based on his performances, and we'd all go, Jordan, amazing, thank you so much, brilliant captain, you won everything, go and have it, go 3 years running around midfield in a mid-table team, whatever. But we can't, because we're losing Chamberlain, Keita, definitely Bobby Firmino, probably James Milner. Already, you've got 4 things, a centre-half, Matip.
Can I give you an analogy on this? And Chris, anyone ever worked at the Tavern Company on Smith Down Road will know this one, but Chris and I will know this best.
That is a very niche set of people.
But other restaurants will do
this. Quite a lot, though.
Yeah. So what we used to do is they'd buy a load of glass tomato ketchup bottles because they look boss and the business and it's Heinz ketchup, but he would then buy the plastic squeezy ones and top them up. And the problem with the top up is most of the time it's absolutely fine, it's no issue, but sometimes if it was done in the wrong order or whatever, the old stuff at the bottom would ferment, and what you would effectively have was a tomato hand grenade. Yeah, so it would ferment and it become explosive basically. So in trying to top up it from the outside it's fine, but every now and again if you got it wrong, you'd open a lid on a tomato ketchup and it'd go poof, and it would fucking blow up in your face,
the customer's face.
Yeah, literally. And I've had that happen to me as a customer several times in that restaurant, and that's a bit like where we're at, is that your safest bet is to literally wash the bottle out and start from scratch. But it takes more time and it costs more money to do that, because every single drop of ketchup is a serving on someone's plate. And in this regard, Liverpool, you'd be foolish to get rid of all these lads. What you should just do is refresh and hone around it. But as we exist in that world where, what if it just doesn't have it anymore? And I mean by that, like, what if he just hasn't got that ember, that fire in him that says go a little bit harder, push a little bit further? What if those lads have lost that? And so you go out and spend £200 million, £250 million in the summer, you buy four new players, but actually,
what you were topping up isn't good enough. That's an interesting analogy, a perfect analogy actually, I think, for what Liverpool have got. My big concern over like the midfield is not so much the defenders and stuff like that, but moving forwards in terms of upgrading them, is we are the most intense team at our best. And I'll be honest with you now, I don't think Jordan Henderson and Fabinho can ever be as intense as we need them in a midfield.
Certainly not twice a week.
Not twice a week. Look, I love them to bits. I think Jordan Henderson's probably been the best captain of my lifetime in terms of me being an adult. And Steven Gerrard was a much better player. But I think in terms of what Jordan Henderson brought as a captain, it could be argued that he was better. But I don't think he's got the intensity that Liverpool needs, and I don't see any of the others really at the moment who are
maybe by Chetta, just the only one potentially.
Yeah, and that exists as potential. Yeah. We know what can happen between a 19-year-old and a 23-year-old midfielder. Anything can fucking go wrong, can't it?
He's so, the only one, and that's the thing.
And I don't doubt Harvey Elliott's intensity, but whether he's got the physicality to do the complete midfield thing that we've been looking for.
Listen, there is a world where Jordan Henderson has a role in the squad. Does he have a role as a midfielder if Liverpool want to compete on four fronts every single season?
I think he could.
It's a diminishing role. It's a diminishing role.
Against X amount of team role when you've got other lads doing the run.
Well, look at James Mill. James Mill can go to Bernabeu and have a boss game at 37.
And one off.
And, yeah, exactly. But that's your point, isn't it? Is you go from being a one game a week player to a 60-minute game a week player to two 30s as your 60, and then you're playing a bit part, but you've eased out and you've handed the baton over. I think what you're kind of saying is who's in our leadership group? Who's stepping up? We went from a team of captains who all led by example, they all led the way, they all were supportive, they all ran the socks off, to I look at who's come in now, and I don't see, I hate Virgil van Dijk wearing that captain's armband. He's a Steven Gerrard captain for me, who whinges, you know what I mean? And that's his thing. He's a brilliant footballer. You lead by being, when you give your best player the captain's armband, that's a great sign that you're on the slide, I think, or you're not a top level side. You need someone who can physically, who's got the captain's attributes. Robbo's got them, but he's a left back, and he's another one who spends half his game running up and down. So has he even got the energy left to shout at people when he needs to? Who knows? It's another issue.
What I will say is I am actually surprisingly excited for the summer, not just because football will finish and I will finally be happy, but I'm excited because I don't think we've had a season where I've been this excited for signings. We need to buy at least four. And if Liverpool don't do that, we'll good luck for next season, because it's going to be worse than this. And I think Jürgen Klopp knows it. And if Jürgen Klopp tells the owners, I think the owners then realise, oh, we're going to have to do something here. Because what happens next year if we don't back the club, don't back Jürgen, and we have to get rid of Jürgen? Well, it's going to be looking bad on us, not Jürgen, because Jürgen's not had the facilities. So I'm actually excited to see what we do, because maybe I'm overthinking it in terms of being too optimistic. I think we go and buy five players, and I hope they're massive players because we need them. So at least that is what has got me excited. Yeah, we may be absolutely crap at football in this moment, but I'm hoping that we go and buy some of the best players Liverpool, who can take us somewhere.
Liverpool can't afford to be out of the Champions League. So let's say they fall out of the Champions League this season. They can't afford to not get back into it.
Yep.
And so, you're in look, Klopp's a miracle, has been a miracle worker at times. But also, he has been backed. And he's been backed by, he's been allowed to keep players that lesser managers would have been sold on. You know, the process is one of Mo Salah, Mane or Firmino would have been sold 3 years ago if he didn't have the power and wasn't given the backing that he was required. I'm having my ups and downs on it all too, but I do genuinely think this summer they've got no choice. Whether we go in the Champions League or not, the requirements are the same. It might make it slightly more tricky because footballers' egos count for something, but we've been here before. You know, he doesn't want players who want to push the train. He doesn't want players who want the train in motion. He wants players who are going to push the train. And we need them, whether we're at the top level or whether we're fighting to get to the top level. So FSG can't afford, in my opinion, I might prove him to be horrendously wrong. And I've said this before, I'll be out with the pitchforks if I am. But they've got no choice. It doesn't matter what happens almost for the rest of this season. It would be loads easier if we are in the Champions League and we'd all feel loads better about it, because fuck the Europa League ultimately compared to the Champions League. It's crap, isn't it? But you can't, if you let it slide, they are in deep shit and nobody wins because they've got a devalued asset to play all the expensive players. You know, Mo Salah's not going to stick around. Then all of a sudden his value's lower, and you know, and
I might be being really naive, and probably am. So fair enough, if you want to slag me off on a comment. Like, I don't think the manager would hang around for a team that's just tossing about, because he's too good for that. He could go and win stuff anywhere he wants. Or the team, he could have jibbed off Liverpool today and been Bayern Munich's manager the next day if he really wanted to.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what gives me a bit of encouragement, and I get it because he's always been the one who's accepted a little bit of in the past, and I think he has facilitated a little bit. He's always been quite willing to toe the party line a bit, but having been there already and where he is in the age of his life and his career and stuff, if you said to Jürgen, you're just going to be tossing around game for top four every year, I think he just went, you know what, go and get someone else. Go and get, like, with all respect, what, Arteta. Go and get someone like Arteta and go again, and it'll take him 5 years. I don't think he'd be up for that, because I don't think he's going to be here that long. For a big, massive project, I think that's what gives me hope that he will spend some dough. And again, I completely agree. I might be being naive because the history of FSG at the moment has been they haven't done that. But given Jürgen's comments the other day and the fact that he isn't just spewing it off and that he's in for the rebuild, that makes me think, yeah, he must have had some assurances, because he said, I knew this was going to be a difficult year, that's why I stayed. And then the comments the other day, I really hope I'm right. It makes me have a bit of belief that A, they're going to do something, and B, he thinks that we're not a million miles away. We're not blowing the whole thing up, because we can't. It's impossible to do that. That's a rebuild. What Liverpool are going through now, this wasn't intentional. A rebuild is when Arteta was an intentional rebuild. Get rid of Aubameyang, get rid of Ozil, get rid of him. Liverpool didn't do that. Liverpool just fucked up and got it wrong. So it wasn't like blowing it up and starting again. They just made the mistake. Arthur Mello on loan shows that he made the mistake, because he realised I've made the mistake. So my hope is that the problems aren't that resolved. They're going to spend some money to fix it. They know who they need, what type of player they need, and they're going to go and get them. And I personally believe, I think Liverpool are, it isn't just Jude Bellingham. Liverpool are Jude Bellingham and two midfielders away from being at least second and being level on a better than Man United. Liverpool with Jude Bellingham and two other midfielders are better than Man United. I'm convinced of that. Can you go and catch City and make whatever Arsenal are? I don't know. But I don't think it's miles off. And I've got real, real belief in the fact that, given the comments the other day, and then that we're starting to hear more links to transfers, albeit players, I'm not completely sure about some of them, but we're starting to hear the noises now of the reliable journalists. I do believe that we are in for the summer that Chloe said, where they are going to spend X amount.
Right, one final comment from Chloe before we move on.
Aren't we guaranteed Champions League, not next season, but the season after anyway, with this new format? So technically...
You want to come top six? God knows, who knows?
I thought it was based off your recent history in the Champions League.
We want to be in that awesome expanded Club World Cup, don't we? That's what we want to be in.
Either way, if that could have came here soon, I'd be happy.
This is something I was going to say before. It never really fit into the conversation at any point. Certainly not worth interrupting anybody for. But like, there's always a fucking excuse when it comes to games that players have. How many numbers of games, isn't there?
Yeah.
And it's like a restaurant being quiet, and they always think, oh, well, it's the rain. Or, oh, yeah, it's cold tonight. People are just staying in and all this type of stuff. There's always a fucking World Cup or a Euros or a Copa or a African Cup of Nations. When you've got when you're a top club, you should be planning for 60 games a season,
yeah,
full stop.
Yeah.
And them not having breaks in the summer, because guess what? Top players don't really have breaks, yeah, in the summer. It's actually a 1 in 4 or something where they have the break. Yeah. So stop bitching and whinging about how many games people have played, and get players or get a squad that's built to have that many games.
Oh, well, you've opened a can of worms there, because the problem we've got, and that's the problem with us, and again, maybe this comes back to ownership ultimately, because we've found a way to be competitive with Manchester City without having their resources, and it requires what you've got to work perfectly and to run itself into the ground over a period of time, because you can't afford to churn and refresh at the same time, and that's where this is where we're at in it. Because I agree,
and also like Jürgen's smaller squad thing, I get it. Like managing 30 players and keeping them happy must be 10 times more difficult than keeping your squad all pulling in the same direction than 18 players. But you can compete for longer with 30 players.
Mm-hmm.
So I get it might be easier, Jürgen. But like, I really need you to find a message that works for 30 players.
Where's your Calvin Phillips? You know what I mean? Like, where's your Scott Parker? Where's your Steve Sidwell's? You know what I mean? These lads who are just made up for the experience of being there. You're having for a season or two, they fill a quota and they're capable of dropping in for the game or two, and then you fuck them off and you get someone else, and then you move on. That's what we've not really been able to do, because we've needed to give lads two or three seasons to make sure we've got the value for money, because we're, yeah. Anyway,
the last thing, we've got Jürgen Klopp as our manager. He deserves the right to try and turn it around. He deserves the right to have investment and to try and get us back to the top, and he will have next season to do that, and hopefully the owners back him, but most definitely the fans will back him, because there's no one else I'd rather have in charge than him to try and turn it around.
You can't play Saturday morning kickoffs if you're in the Europa League, just throwing it out there.
Brilliant. Right, so...
those early kickoffs were...
Adam Dahl, yeah, I mean, to be fair, anyone who expected us to beat Man City away from home in a half 12 kickoff was fucking mental.
Get me in that call.
What was your score prediction actually on Thursday night?
I said 3-1 City.
He's a 3-1 City.
Yeah. Adam Dowling sent in a 99 euro cent super chat. Thank you so much, Adam. We've got a few more as well, which I'll just quickly go through. Sean P. Casey with 9.99. Thank you so much, Sean. Says, we have different opinions. To me, Klopp virtually said he's indestructible with FSG in charge, and this season is over. Big summer ahead. Too many passages in this team. Time to be ruthless. I do agree with that one. Absolutely. John Lee David Blackshaw has been a member for 24 months. Why? Surely it isn't 2 years the point where you stop counting in months. Anyone who's got kids will know that. But anyway, he says, we really need a perfect summer investment in the players that will push us forward. Jürgen knows who he wants. The board has to back him. Otherwise, the long-term outcome has no golden sky, YNWA. And Elite Six with a fiver says, great show, folks. I often rely on the gargantuan good looks of our swashbuckling number 27 to improve my mood. It isn't working. This lot have ruined me. yeah, I think we're all kind of feeling a little bit like that. Genuinely, it was the first time I went to put me Darwin Nunes t-shirt on this morning. I went, whatever, let him play well against Chelsea and then I'll bring it back out again. But I did have that thing. I had no, like, I was not in the mood for consolation of, oh, he's playing quite well, or is that, yeah. I just need us to be good.
Paul, I've had it. I've got the shirts that I wear most are on the right hand side, like that's where the magic washing basket puts them,
yeah,
after they've been ironed and stuff. You need to get a magic washing basket. It's amazing. You throw it in 32 days later, ironed in your wardrobe. Fantastic. Cost a lot of money, man.
As well.
Ironed as well, mate. You know this. Anyway, I, the amount of times Thiago's been, no, cannot wear a Thiago shirt at the moment.
I bought our Champions League. That's the 6 times we've won it. Just because I felt like, take me back to those days, please.
Absolutely. Right, okay, we're going to take a very short break in what looks to be a mammoth podcast this week, and then we're going to look ahead to Chelsea on Tuesday night. Hey, it's the Bias Football Podcast.
We're f***ing idiots.
What are we doing? Right, grudge and respect.
A little bit of a wild one this week. I'm going to give it for Danny Ings, because Danny Ings has just decided to play for every team with claret and blue, like it's his colour. There was just nothing in the news this week.
Yeah, I think we can all agree. Danny Ings deciding 2 months ago to sign for West Ham.
I know you will for a bit, but how long was it?
I've
been in a coma.
Can't even get Ian Wright.
Steve Wilson, Alan Shearer.
Every single person on the BBC.
You know what? That'll do. Danny Ings.
Clean sweep, baby.
Grudging respect of the week. You know what? Actually, Chris Pajak wins the grudging respect of the week. If you can get Danny Ings that win, Jesus Christ.
The biggest story in the news has been all about footy and how much we respect every single person. But no, well then, Danny.
Hey everyone, come and join us for the very first Red Men TV Liverpool quiz night live at Hotel Anfield on Friday, May the 5th. We'll be down at Hotel Anfield for an outrageous evening of Liverpool trivia, party games, amazing prizes and incredible live music from Dave Jaggs of the Ragamuffins. Yes, hosted by our very own deadly duo, Mr. Chris Pajak and Mr. Paul Machen. We promise you an unforgettable Liverpool themed night. It is the perfect precursor for the weekend's match. So if you're heading to our wonderful city for Liverpool versus Brentford, or if you're just looking somewhere to have an amazing night out with you and your mate, bring your trivia brain, bring your dancing shoes, and best of all, bring your shooting boots as well. So yeah, get your tickets now. Scan the QR code that's on the screen. If you go to ticketquarter.co.uk and just search for the Red Men TV, you can get them there as well. Or just find us on all of our social accounts and there'll be links there too. Don't delay, the tickets are going to sell out fast. There are only limited numbers as well. And best of all, if you want to get a group of your mates together, get on there. You can book tables and you'll get discount for buying as a group as well. So yeah, don't delay. Make sure you go and get them. Come and join us down at Hotel Anfield on May the 5th. It's going to be an absolute belter of a night. Make sure you're there. Go and get your tickets.
Mega. Yeah, come and join us. We're doing our very first live quiz night. Yeah, we've been doing quizzes for so many years on the channel. We've been having mad parties for so many years out in public, and we decided to, it was a put your hands together kind of situation. So if you are in dire need of a lift, then come and party with us on Friday the 5th of May. It's not your normal quiz environment, so make sure you do bring some trabs that you're not asked about with you, potentially.
It's totally true.
Yeah.
And if you want a lift, I'll give you the dirty dancing lift.
No one can wreck my shoes, right? Like, I will be.
I'm not going to cut them up or anything like you.
No, but if you stand
there. Don't wear white tailies either.
No, I won't. But if you wreck me good shoes, I won't be happy.
All I'm saying is, be prepared. If you're the kind of person who likes to sit and be nice and quiet and stuff, then that's fine. But we're also going to be getting people up and dancing and having a good laugh as well. So yeah, come and join us. We guarantee it's a lift your spirits. Right, Chelsea, Tuesday night. Thick and fast. I'm kind of glad this is just coming around, to be perfectly honest. I'm less glad, Steho, that they've pulled the trigger on Potter. Actually, okay, I've said that out loud. I haven't really thought about it. I'm scared of the new manager bounce, but also Potter had a pretty good record against us, so I'm not totally... It's not maybe the worst thing that's ever happened. Chelsea have been even more shambolic than us this season and continue to be. They've had more and less impressive false dawns than us. At least we've had, like, we twatted United kind of false dawns.
Do you want a semi-final of the Champions League?
Mm-hmm.
Quarters? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which Real Madrid, isn't it for them?
If I'm being honest with you, I don't totally agree that they've had a worse season than Liverpool.
When Real Madrid beat not the Champions League, you might feel differently.
Yeah.
Well, I'm hoping that does happen, but...
I'd be shocked. But I think I'm right in saying we're going to speak about them on the next show, but from a Liverpool point of view, I don't know if it's a good... Like, again, this might age terribly, but, like, I don't think they're going to have a manager in place for the game.
No, they've said, haven't they, that
Bruno,
his assistant from Brighton's going to be in charge.
For a few games and stuff, so my guess is that. Again, I don't know if that. You are right, though. At the Potter thing's a good point. Brighton's Potter and then Chelsea's stalemate City, wasn't it? A little bit, or they beat us. So I do understand that. It might just be other players were done in with them. And it's something, you know, we might just be a liberation at the.
All he keeps talking about is tactics and Craftdale. Will he just fuck off?
God, I am sick of listening to Paul Weller. That's what but the flip side is this fella's had like one game, one day. Like, you know, he's prepared. Potter was sacked last night late. This fella's got today and then a bit of tomorrow morning.
So it's his assistant.
It's the lad who Bruno, he used to play for Brighton. He was his fullback.
Yeah.
Baldy fella. Another ball he represents, shout. So I don't know what can he do. Is he going to do much different? The players are still the same players. I mean, N'Golo Kante, he's just getting back to fitness just in time for his usual leg Liverpool around the pitch that he's accustomed to having. Kovacic is the same. They used to, so they'll be sound. But the issue that you've got is that, you know, unlike Liverpool, what you were saying before, Chris, about like a lack of options, maybe a lack of legs. They've got too many, and the lads they've signed, it's been chaos for them. So all it does for Liverpool is that maybe makes it a little bit more difficult to prepare. But the flip side, like I say, what's this guy going to do in a day? What's he rate? Other than he might give them the mental lift.
GM up. That. Send them out.
And also, they might have hated Potter.
The atmosphere will be better because them fans could not stand Graham Potter.
I'm sure they love his assistant then.
But at least it's not him, and they'll probably get Nagelsmann at some point anyway. So they at least know it's not going to be Graham Potter.
Fine with. He's the fucking emperor's new clothes of managers, Julian Nagelsmann, surely. Is everyone like, everyone's going,
well, if you like Tuchel, you like Nagelsmann. And they didn't like Tuchel.
Yeah.
So they're not going to like Nagelsmann either.
Who didn't like Tuchel?
Chelsea.
I thought their fans absolutely loved them.
It's Chelsea. They're crazy. Who knows?
They love sacking managers more than they love anything.
They only hire them to sack them.
Yeah.
It's just fun. My concern going back to it is like, it might just give their players just a little bit more of a confidence. But like, tactically, I can't see him doing he's not going to do much difference from our point of view. It's going to Stamford Bridge, which is tough, having to win.
Yeah.
We have to, there's no doubt about it. But, I mean, ultimately, top four might be gone anyway. I think doing the match before, we might need to win maybe eight, nine wins from 11. And at this team, they just don't look capable of doing it. But if you're going to start, this is the place to do it. And the point you made before was spot on, Paul. These aren't that good.
Yeah.
Like, they are crap. They are properly rubbish. It's just, it's Chelsea. And again, go back to, they've got players who had success against us before. We know what type it's going to be. I would be shocked if at 85 minutes tomorrow, you're on the watch along and there isn't just a goal in it. It's either, you know, it's one's one up or it's a draw, because that's what every game against Chelsea has been for seemingly forever against
us. I'll be shocked if Paul's on the watch along.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. Just saying, couldn't work my way out of that one. I just didn't want to go to Chelsea so very, very badly.
What idiots are we sending there?
Fucking me again.
I want to go. I just can't.
You know that magic iron basket that Chris mentioned before?
It ain't that, mate. It ain't the magic washing basket.
It comes
it's a certain video that was doing the wrong 2 years ago.
Bloody hell, Chelsea.
Yeah. Well done. We've only lost there once in the league since 2015. So we've got a decent record at Stamford Bridge.
When was that?
What?
When did we lose?
We lost in 2018.
Okay. Giroud scored. It was when we were somehow ended up in the top four race that we just like never looked like we were never going to be in, and all of a sudden we was in it.
The thing is, the two sides, actually, I think players-wise, were going into the game in a similar boat. I think Chelsea's players are going to have to book their ideas up because they've just got a manager sacked and they're playing for the futures. And I think Liverpool's players are in exactly the same boat in that they've just put in one of the worst performances of the season, where everyone's questioning the effort that they were putting in and the desire, and they've got to go in there and show that they can bounce back. Like that's an interesting one. I mean, Jürgen spoke out about it at the weekend. You know, that's not Jürgen Klopp. Jürgen Klopp does not want to put himself in that position where he's questioning his players, and he did. And rightfully so, by the way.
Tactically, for me, I don't know what you think, how we should be approaching it, Chloe, but in some regards, you've got to use City as the best preparation. I think this is one of those games where I think you play on the fact that they're going to want to come out all guns blazing and look to try and, you know, and like look to be super energetic. The crowd's going to be on their side. And hopefully Man City was a bit of practice for that, where play them on the counter, you know what I mean, do the same thing, but hopefully do it a little bit better because Chelsea aren't as good as Man City. I think you can play into their hands. We've got the ability, I think, to knock them out with a sucker punch more than maybe if we play into that and try and go toe to toe. And because I don't think we're actually really good enough to do that at the minute.
It's one of them where I'm once again asking Liverpool to do the basics, but do the basics at a decent level and not the level they've been doing it with. Do not concede within the first 5 minutes of a football game. It's just that simple. And work your way into it. I don't think we started brilliant against Man City, but the longer it went on, the more I thought, okay, yeah, they've had a lot of possession, they've had quite a lot of chances here, but the counter-attack, it always looks like it's on. And if we can get the half yard on them, which, you know, Trent's ball to Jota did do, then we might be able to cause them some problems. And also, Chelsea's not as good as Man City. That's just very clear. It'll be, you know, good to see who they line up with, because, like I said, that Mudrick, I mean, he was good against us for 15 minutes and we made him look absolutely sensational, and since then everyone's made him look crap. And I hope we don't do that again, because we don't have the confidence and we can do that. And I hope we really don't. I hope we're solid. I hope there's a reaction. Apparently there was a crisis meeting that happened either yesterday or whatever. I hope that's really... I hope they know that, like, Jürgen Klopp's not in trouble, but I hope they know that if they keep performing like this, then eyes will start to look at Jürgen even more.
Just the players are in trouble.
Yeah,
if they carry on like that, that's what they need to recognise. If I was Liverpool, right, when they're doing the warm-ups, I would blow a whistle. Watch the warm-ups be absolutely terrible, and us concede loads of goals in the warm-up. And then when that whistle goes, we've hopefully got all that out the way.
Yeah, or they'll think it's the second half, and they'll have no energy left, and they'll give up.
Before the City game, the record was going around of Liverpool against the top six, against the good sides and stuff. Are Chelsea a good side? Because, are we getting Liverpool who play well against the big teams, or are we playing against the mid-table side away from home? Because if it's the latter, I don't know what's going to happen. Fucking gonna lose. Yeah. So someone needs to convince Liverpool that he's a boss. These lads, you got to be up for this one.
What's really interesting about this game and about just where both teams are placed, you know, looking at the league table, we're eighth at the minute. You know,
on Match of the Day too, we weren't even in that top graphic. You know, when they were doing like the race for fourth.
That's clever, that, isn't it?
I didn't watch that.
We are. I mean, again, we're back into a world where we need to start reeling Brighton and Brentford in.
Villa are hot on our tail.
But Chelsea are 11th at the moment. Chelsea are 11th in the league. There's only 4 points. There's 4 points between us, and we've got a game in hand. And what this does is, I think it finishes their season off nicely. You know what I mean? And there's a nice little potential lift for us. Because I don't know how everyone feels about the Arsenal game on the horizon off the back of this, but at Anfield, I feel like we can give Arsenal a good game. I don't know that we'll win, but I'm generally quite confident about it being a good game of football and as being very, very capable. But this away form has been fucking dismal. And this is why, going back to our chat about the weekend, why we've put our eggs in this basket, why they made substitutions, because I think you kind of have to win this. And that's a pressure to say to Stamford Bridge that you've got to win it. But if you can win this and you can get, and look, you could beat Arsenal at the weekend. If you've taken 6 points from nine, I think all of us would have bitten a hand off for that at the start of this little run. I'm not saying that's guaranteed by any stretch.
We did a video on Plus where we analysed everyone's fixtures in the race for the top four and stuff, and how many points historically you need to get top four. And the average has sort of gone up over the 38 game season to the point where you need 70 points, give or take. And you might not need quite that many, but I do think you probably will need 70, 71, 72 points. So if you put yourself at 70 points or 71, I think Liverpool, if I remember the maths, I think we could only afford to drop 8 points between now and the end of the season. That now was pre-Manchester City. We've dropped 3. So in my head, you can drop 5 between today and the end of the season, right? And you've got Chelsea and Arsenal this week, which means you can't really afford to lose many points in those games whatsoever. And I'll be honest with you, Liverpool aren't good enough to win all the other games. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's a major concern. I'll be honest, I'm not sure we're in the race for the top four no more. I think we might have already put ourselves out. But if we don't win against Chelsea, we're definitely out of it.
Yeah.
I think the thing I'm positive about in terms of Chelsea is hopefully Nunes will be back from the start. You know, he wasn't fit enough to start from the beginning into Manchester City.
Diaz isn't going to start either.
Diaz is out, yeah. He probably won't even make the Arsenal game, Diaz. But I'm excited to see Gakpo once again. He's the one that I'm looking to, that I'm looking forward to seeing again. I'd like to see what role he plays him in, because if I'm starting Nunes, then Jota's being dropped, because he's not going to drop Salah, is he, off the right? Mm-hmm. And I'd choose seeing Gakpo over Jota personally at this moment.
And Gakpo's played against Chelsea already, and he was poor against Chelsea. I think he was a little bit manhandled by Chelsea centre-halves last time out. So it'll be interesting to see him go up against the side and a couple of players that he's actually already played against. How does he improve? Does he get better for that? Like,
For me, I'm pretty much rolling the dice again on the same team that started City. I'd keep Jota in, because I think he's like our third most assists of anyone this season, which is quite hilarious, because everyone's kind of like focused on the fact that he hasn't scored a goal, which is a bad thing, by the way. But I thought that was his best performance for us since coming back. And I just,
it was his best half.
Yeah.
I'm going Darwin.
I think the plan with Darwin, and we never got to do it because we'd basically thrown the towel in psychologically by that point, of having Darwin Nunes to just run riot for half an hour, I don't think is a bad thing. I don't think it's worked when we've done it the other way around. I think when we've been taking Nunes off with half an hour or 20 minutes to go, we've looked loads less threatening as a team. And until Jota can do it in all environments, which hopefully he'll get back to, that's my preference for it. I just go again, because the first half, I go and do that first half again, but better. And then if you've done it better, let's have a conversation about improving on the second half.
Would
as
you,
well.
When you say that, though, would you stick with that mad 4-2-3-1 formation, or you're going back to a more conventional three? Because
to be fair, I saw it as 4-3-3.
Mate, it was definitely 4-2. I mean, Salah was playing up front. Like, it was right wing, I thought, and I think against Chelsea, you might want to convert back to a three. Again, it goes back to what their manager's going to do or their thinking on that. I think I would go Darwin to start. I think Chelsea have got a similar situation to Liverpool where they're vulnerable wide. And I think Darwin's happier to hug a touchline than Jota. Jota doesn't want to be there, really. He wants to drift in. So I think that would be one. And like I say, it's very rare that Jürgen will go Saturday, Tuesday and not make more changes. We don't know how they are. He said, didn't he, in this press conference earlier, there's a couple of few knocks and a few, like, he always says that, but
the only change I would maybe just make is I'd start Tsimikas instead of
and I think
Robertson.
I don't think it'll be Henderson and Fabinho again.
Who've you got?
Exactly. Milner?
Yeah. I think Milner will play. I don't know which one will leave. Probably Henderson. I don't think he's going to have Henderson to go Saturday, Tuesday, Sunday. It goes back to the options available.
Is the game, though, where I think we empty the tank. Because you need to win this.
I think we already did that on Saturday a little bit.
But the substitutions is
Hendo go off, or did Hendo stay on? I can't
Hendo stayed on, didn't he?
That might be a clue.
I think there's something in, potentially. Yeah. But this is one of those where I don't think you worry about the Arsenal game until you've just got to go and get 3 points.
And the right to be worried about the Arsenal
game. No, but I'm looking at have you got it in them? We just said before, you've got no legs. Yeah. Have you got no legs, and you're asking them to play a couple of days later? It might be tough. I think Milner will definitely start alongside, I think, Fabinho and Elliot. And then I think Nunes comes in, and I think Costas will play. I think I wouldn't be shocked if Gomez played for Trent as well.
Wow.
I think there'll be a freshening up about it, not just mentally, but physically, in terms of, I think that he does have that in mind. And again, because whoever Chelsea play left wing, one of their myriad of number 10 / wingers, he might just say to Gomez, you might be better equipped to it. But it's a difficult one to really put your finger on, in terms of, like, because both these sides are so inconsistent. It was a couple of weeks ago and I got this badly wrong. I said, I wouldn't rule Chelsea out.
Boys Chelsea stick.
I thought it was around the Dortmund game when they'd won a couple and it looked like things were starting to click for them. It turned into a bit of a false dawn, obviously. So it's so hard to get a grasp on both these sides at the minute.
I was just looking around and really paid attention to it the weekend. Chelsea played Reece James, Koulibaly and Cucurella as a back three. Loftus-Cheek, Fernandes, Kovacic, Chilwell in the four, and in the middle, Havertz, Mudryk and Felix. Like, I mean, I know the manager will change. There might be something more simplistic in terms of what they're doing. Like,
had a shocker as well. Yeah, the stinker of a game.
Absolutely wild.
They're in the same boat as us. Their best defenders are 30-odd-year-old and he's injured. Chelsea, they're actually a little bit like us, that they've actually got all the attackers they think they need. They probably need a centre forward. There's a couple of other areas of the team that need boxing off. But
okay, well, look, Anyone else got any other wild shouts for what they might do or might do differently, particularly for this game?
Win a game of football.
Win an away game.
Win an away game.
Wild. Not draw 0-0 with Chelsea.
Win an away game, please, lads. Yeah, you know.
It's like a 4 a.m. get back, isn't it, for me? That's incredible. Love an 8 p.m. kickoff all the way down in the capital.
Kick off to London for a bit.
What?
You get to get a nice day out in London.
Watch it rain as well.
Oh, Chloe.
Come on, come on.
She's done.
So send some love for Chloe in the comments,
no,
please.
I just need a Liverpool win and then...
That'll see it for Chloe. You'll get there, Chloe. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
I like these. Throw Joe Gomez in and Costas Tsimikas in. Refresh it up a little bit, to be honest with you. I would never have thought of both of them. I thought Tsimikas would probably start this one. I wouldn't have thought of Gomez on
if you think, if we're thinking that we're capable of 6 points out of six out of the next, you know, two games, then I think they should absolutely do that, because that, and that's what you, if that, I think that shows a degree of confidence of saying we're managing for two games a week, 40 this week. If they're a little bit if there's a bit of an air of desperation, it might be going my suggestion to just go same again, and then you mix it up for Arsenal, maybe.
The Arsenal game, you're at least at home, and we will not allow you to play like you played in that second half against Manchester City, because you'll have to deal with the crowd on your back. Yeah. And yet they've played pretty bad at home, but the comparison to away fixtures that we've and results that we've put in, it's second to none. So they know they can't perform like that. So yeah. I think, you know, potentially you do make the subs, make them come back in for that Arsenal game and tell them to go again and tell them to feed off the crowd. Mm-hmm. And if Arteta could try and cause a bust up again and get us even more angry, I'd really appreciate that as well.
Yeah, it'd be amazing. Rabadan, member 15 months, says, Quiz Pager. That might be your name for the live event.
That's okay.
Quiz Pager.
Quiz Pager.
Like that.
I like it.
The club legends have been having a little chat about a couple of things. Hardy, it's David, says Pajak in shorts is a snack.
Snack. You're the only one who thinks so.
John Lee, David Blackshaw, also in the club legends now, saying just need to keep the faith. We all knew the City match goes one way or the other, but Chelsea is a game we should win. YNWA. Yeah, absolutely. How are you feeling? Let us know in the comments. I think the game's going to go. We'll do score predictions because it's stock content, isn't it? Steve, what do you think?
1-0 Gakpo.
2-1 Liverpool.
1-0 Mo.
2-1 Liverpool.
We're fucking idiots. Honestly, I love us. We're the best, aren't we? We haven't won a game all season. Was it 6 points or something?
Three.
Then he wins. And we're, yeah, confidence across the board. Yeah.
When was the last time we won a game in the league?
It's blind football. United.
Fucking hell.
Jesus.
Since then, we've just not been great.
It's 2-1. Is it 3-0? It's 2-1 or 5-0 to us.
At least I love us.
Right. It's either 1-0 to Liverpool or it's 0-0. If I'm picking two score lines.
Yeah, it's going to be tight. No, I think it's going to be a cagey affair.
I like the idea that we've done this a number of times in the past where we have a result that's underwhelmed. We try something and we're not quite right with it, and then we play the next game and we're... I mean, this is what happened with Real Madrid and United, isn't it? You know, we started well and then it all fell apart, and then we went to United. Right. This is what was meant to happen. So, fuck it, 5-0.
oh, no.
If you want to see this level of bias transferring to us talking about the other football teams in the Premier League, then come and join us for the Bias Football podcast. We're going to be recording that pretty much straight live after this live on redmenplus.com. We've got a lovely little sign-up code for you new peeps as well. If you use the code BIASED...
B-I-S-E-D.
No! Don't be an idiot, Chloe. That's not how biased is spelled. B-I-A-S-E-D. If you join us a club captain monthly payments on the payment page, if you put biased in as the code, you will get it for £2 a month for 3 months, and you can get involved with the Biased Football Show, which was a belter last week, I'm assured, by just judging by how many people watched it. You guys smashed it.
I don't remember what we spoke about.
Conte.
So we're going to be talking about Brendan Rodgers getting the sack. We're going to be doing more on Graham Potter, and we're going to be doing the other bits and pieces of the fight for Europe and more, as well as picking up Bell End of the Week and Grudging Respect of the Week as well. Hope to see you over there on redmenplus.com. Other than that, if you listen to this on podcast, then give it a 5-star review, and we'll see you elsewhere.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.